Captain's log, stardate 50693.2. We've been in orbit above an outpost of the Mikal Travelers. This loosely governed race of explorers has extensive knowledge of the territory ahead of us, which they are willing to share.
I landed my ship on the nearest of those 21 moons. My navigator and I disembarked to start repairs. Damage was extensive, more than we'd anticipated. The hours passed, the air grew cold, and with our weapons, we started a fire to keep warm. Later, in the night, we awoke with a shudder. The ground was shaking, a moonquake. What could have been worse? We leapt into the ship, hoping the tremor would pass. But it was no tremor, and it did not pass. For it was no moon we had landed on.
What was it?
A creature. A living being so massive, it generated its own gravitational field. So immense, it supported its own ecosystem.
Captain.
How long had it been lying there, dormant, slumbering, until wakened by our fire? Years. Centuries.
Perhaps even millennia?
Perhaps.
Zaheer is the pilot I've been working with on the medical supply transfer. A pleasure.
Returned. Curious, I was just visiting the system you spoke of only a few months ago. My ship's sensors picked up no such monster.
Perhaps your sensors were faulty. Or too busy gazing at your own reflection to bother looking out the window.
Our guests are offering us supplies we need. In exchange, we travelers are giving them a look at what lies ahead of them. We should keep that view as clear as possible.
This is my lodge. I say what I want. And you can go elsewhere.
I've journeyed to the corners of known space and beyond. I've earned the right to come and go as I please. Where and when and how I please. Do you challenge that right?
No.
Forgive my display, Captain. But my people consider outposts such as this to be necessary evils, places to refuel, repair, exchange information, and leave as quickly as possible. If I've observed anything working with Kes, it's her great tolerance, a quality you all seem to share. I regret not being able to demonstrate the same.
There's no need to apologize for anything. Our time here has been very well spent, although I could use your help in sifting through that last colorful saga.
Moon-sized creature or not, the asteroids of that particular system are rich in beryllium.
That might be worth a short detour. Engineering is usually short on beryllium. Thank you, Zaheer.
Zaheer nods and looks at Kes, who looks shyly away but quickly glances back, smiling. The doctor is in a holosuite suite with Gandhi and other historical figures.
Men and women should refrain from enjoying each other. By that I mean to say, even their mutual glances must be free of all suggestion of carnality.
Free of passion, one might as well be free of humanity. Do you not agree?
I think you both make valid points.
One can pursue one's creative urges, spiritual urges, and physical urges. All have a place in a well-lived life.
Thank you, Lord Byron. The classic romantic early 19th century argument.
Yes, it seems quite fascinating to see...
Classic or no, he is woefully misguided. Passion is meant for procreation. Anything further is contrary to divine intention.
Really? It is said the angels themselves take pleasure in their bodies of light.
And you should take a cold bath. In such cases, it is the finest preventative.
I'll keep that in mind.
Hello, Doctor.
Oh, hello, Kes.
Doctor, what's happening in here?
My personality improvement project. I've been interviewing the historical personality programs in our database. Socrates, Da Vinci, Lord Byron, T'Pau, Vulcan, Madame Curie, dozens of the greats. Then I select the character elements I find admirable and merge them into my own program.
What are you hoping to gain?
An improved bedside manner, a fresh perspective on diagnoses, more patience with my patients. I could have used your assistance on this project had you not been otherwise occupied on the planet these last few days.
I'm sorry, Doctor, but things are going extremely well. The Mikal Travelers are intriguing. They've been to so many places, done such amazing things.
One might make the same observation about you, Kes, or any member of the Voyager crew.
Maybe it's how they do it that's so impressive. Their ships are small, only a pilot and a navigator. Sometimes they just pick a direction and go. You should come down to the planet, Doctor. I want you to meet Zaheer.
And who might that be?
I've been working with him on the transport of our medical supplies. He's unique.
Is he? In my opinion, you've become far too infatuated with these travelers. From the away team reports, they seem afflicted with terminal wanderlust, risk-taking thrill seekers with no responsibility to the ideals of exploration. In short, bad news.
Not Zaheer. He's more than that.
I think I'm detecting a reaction to your recent breakup with Mr. Neelix. The Mahatma would recommend a cold bath. Simplistic, but no doubt effective.
Kes watches the Doctor walk away. Her anxious eyes follow him as if confused by his actions. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Darkling. Gas explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas, its flat, oval bow raised above and forward of the cylindrical body to which the engine arms are fixed, forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet streaked with clouds turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun eclipsed by a satellite moon is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic, gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing.
In my preparatory report to the away team, I recall mentioning to you that Klingons lacked an enzyme for metabolizing this planet's vegetation. Have you been naughty?
I had one small salad.
So impetuous. Any sharp pains?
No.
Heartburn?
I guess so.
There's nothing like a heart that burns.
What?
Your pulse is lovely. Does that feel good?
Doctor, unless you want me to knock you into the middle of the next millennium, you'd better back off.
Forgive me, Lieutenant, I appear to have miscalculated. Computer, isolate the recent additions to my program and hold them for review.
Doctor, have you been messing around with your program?
I would hardly call my effort to improve my performance as ship's physician messing around.
What exactly have you done to yourself?
I've taken character traits from holodeck recreations of the most accomplished figures in history. Scientists, poets, philosophers, saints.
And incorporated them into your program?
Precisely. There. That should compensate for the lack of enzyme in your system. You should be fine.
That's more than I can say for you.
How so?
You can't just casually add behavioral subroutines into your program.
There's nothing casual about it. I've put a great deal of research into this project.
Research is one thing. Putting it into practice is something else. Behavioral subroutines have a way of interacting with each other that isn't always predictable. You've got to be careful. Or someone might hurt you.
He gently strokes her knee.
I see what you mean.
I will take a look at your program when I finish my shift in engineering. It shouldn't be too hard to smooth out the rough spots. I'll make you better than new.
Thank you, Lieutenant. Computer, deactivate emergency medical holographic program.
It is said this path was cut more than 10,000 years ago.
By whom?
No one knows. Spacefarers like ourselves. They left very little behind. A few symbols burned into the rocks, nothing more.
And what do you hope to leave behind?
I've never asked myself that question. That's what I like about you, Cass. You make me consider alternatives.
I could say the same about you.
We have a saying. My course is as elusive as a shadow across the sky. My people are peripatetic by nature. We live for the excitement of facing the challenge of space alone.
I can see the attraction.
And I can see the value of fellowship in one's life. And now that I've observed the closeness that exists among your crewmates, I find it enviable.
Some kind of compromise might be possible.
Compromise? Doesn't that suggest a loss on both sides?
All right, then. How about an understanding? A meeting of the minds.
Only minds?
Light sparkles in geometric patterns on a rock in front of Kez.
Is this what you brought me here to see?
Yes, it is.
How beautiful. Was this left by the same people who made the path 10,000 years ago?
So it seems.
Can you read it?
My course is as elusive as a shadow across the sky.
She gently takes his hand and stares tenderly into his eyes.
Thank you for this.
He bends to kiss her, gently placing his hand upon her cheek. Unseen, a shadowy hooded figure watches them from the bushes. A crew member energizes the transport beam and Kez materializes. With a dreamy, faraway look, Kez leaves the transporter room, smiling happily to herself. Tuvok strides through the ship, checking his data recorder. Rounding a corner, he sees Kez coming towards him.
Computer, what is the time?
0300 hours.
Good evening, Tuvok.
It is 3 o'clock in the morning, Kez.
Yes, it is.
You have an away team report due at 0800 hours.
I haven't forgotten.
Very well.
Kez's expression is immediately dulled and she walks away. A flicker of concern crosses Tuvok's face before he too turns back to his duties.
Well, how are you, Kez?
I didn't think anyone would still be working at this hour.
Just finishing up the summary analyses from last week's mission.
I was supposed to do that.
Yes, you were.
I'm sorry. I'll do them as soon as I can.
Although I'm not designed to act as ship's counselor, I've been programmed with enough psychological knowledge to be troubled by your behavior.
I'm a little late.
Gallivanting around after hours is beside the point. The fact is, you're becoming increasingly unpredictable, given to swings of mood and emotion. As your doctor and your mentor, I'd be remiss not calling that to your attention, for your own sake.
Doctor, I know that you care about me and that you have my best interests at heart. But everyone seems to be treating me like I'm still a child. I'm 3 years old now. If I'm attracted to someone, it's my business, not the whole ship's.
I'm certainly not trying to interfere. You can lead your life any way you please.
I know that you care what happens to me. I won't forget that.
Very well. I believe you have a report to finish.
I'm going to do it right now.
She takes the data pad and sits down at a console under the watchful eye of the doctor. Captain Janeway studies her computer in the ready room.
Come in. Hello, Captain. Good morning. An all-nighter, Cass?
Captain.
The fine art of putting off an important task to the very last minute, then rushing through it. In my academy days, I was the acknowledged master.
Captain, do you have a minute?
Of course. Let's sit down.
You know I've been spending time with Zaheer.
Yes, he seems like a very interesting young man.
He is. I want to spend more time with him, a lot more time.
I see.
He wants to explore the Solaran Rift. His ship travels at high warp. We could rendezvous with Voyager afterwards before you're too far away. That would certainly give you a chance to get to know him better. It's more than that. Captain, I've lived almost a third of my life now. I've been asking myself if I want to spend the rest of it on Voyager. That's certainly a legitimate question. Everyone here has been so good to me, I don't want you to think I'm ungrateful. I've just been thinking that maybe there's more. I don't know what that means, but I know I'm changing, and I know that there are things that I'm not satisfied with. I want complication in my life. And you think Sahir might be the way to do that? Maybe so. I understand what you're going through, Cass. I know what it's like to be at a crossroads in life. Not to know which way is best. I can help you weigh the consequences, the possibilities. The decision itself has to be yours alone. I understand. We'll be in orbit for several more days. Take your time. My door's open if you need me. Thank you, Captain.
Janeway watches her sadly. Tuvok and Zahir sit in the tavern, studying charts.
If you navigate here, away from this plasma belt, you'll avoid the Tarkon sentries altogether.
It would also take Voyager several months off a direct course to the Alpha Quadrant.
True, but at least you would still have Voyager.
The Tarkon are that powerful?
Yes, and that acquisitive. They'll remove your entire crew, settle you on a moon somewhere, and your ship will become their latest trophy.
You weren't planning on taking Kes anywhere near this part of space.
Of course not. My small vessel would be overpowered in seconds. There's no need to be concerned for Kes. I value her life as much as my own.
From what I've surmised, that is something your people do not seem to value. You take many chances.
If we're alone, yes. But when responsible for the safety of another, it's a different story. I'm in love with Kes. I want her to go with me. But whatever she decides, it would please me to earn the trust of her closest friends.
It would please me to be able to give it.
Aren't you finished yet?
We will continue tomorrow.
Thank you, Tuvok. I was talking to Captain Janeway.
And?
She said I shouldn't rush a decision. We've still got 2 more days here.
Then let's make them worthwhile. I go tonight to the next outpost. The path is beautiful.
I can't. Not tonight. I have to catch up my work and get some sleep.
I'll try not to let you see my disappointment.
Too late.
Is something wrong?
No. I was just thinking about something Captain Janeway said. About coming to a crossroads. Maybe someday we'll recall this conversation, this place, as if it were the most important time in our lives. It's a little overwhelming.
Not if I'm with you.
Zahir walks alone through the mountain forest along a cliff path. His happy confidence is suddenly dispelled. He looks quickly back the way he has come, peering through the trees and bushes. Seeing nothing, he trudges on, but is now alert and watchful. Rocks slide a little way off, and he turns again. He looks worried.
Someone there!
Zahir draws his phaser and slowly walks on. His eyes are wide as he strains to see or hear anything unusual. Carefully, listening hard, he walks along a rocky path alongside the sheer mountain slope. He stops, suddenly aware that something is very wrong. A hooded figure appears behind him, carrying a club. Zahir quickly turns around. The hooded figure watches him fall down the cliff and turns quickly away towards the tavern.
I'm closed.
Just looking for a place by the fire.
The hood is removed, revealing the doctor.
Come back tomorrow.
I intend to. But tonight,
a place by the fire.
The doctor pushes the innkeeper's hand into the fire.
Your reflexes are good. A few minutes in a dermal regenerator and you'll be fine.
or an ice pack will do in a pinch. I'm going to need a ship and passage off this world. You're going to arrange it.
Computer, activate the emergency medical holographic program.
Please state the nature of the medical emergency.
Zaheer was found unconscious at the bottom of a ravine. He's in the emergency outpost facility.
Condition?
Multiple fractures and skin lacerations, damage to the left occipital nerve. Doctor, they think that he was attacked.
By whom?
They don't know. Tuvok is assisting with the investigation.
Is there anything I can do?
If you could help, the physician in charge is waiting for you.
Prepare a med kit. Include an osteoregenerator.
Yes, Doctor.
I'll get the mobile emitter and inform the captain.
Doctor, wait. There's a problem with your program.
What sort of problem?
I'm not sure. Something caused by the new subroutines you added.
Is the doctor all right?
He might not be unless I can figure out what's going on. I need to run a complete analysis on all your subroutines while they're running.
I'm sorry, Kes. Tell the physician I recommend he use the regenerator until Zaheer is stabilized. I'll join you as soon as I can.
Kes watches them. She looks crestfallen.
So I made a mess of things?
It's not your fault. It looks good in theory. What could be wrong with adding a little personality to your program?
What indeed?
You didn't anticipate the linkages between the subroutines, the complex behaviors that could emerge out of the mix.
Please explain, Lieutenant.
Well, take Lord Byron, for example, a creative, poetic genius.
That's why I chose him.
But Byron was also emotionally intense, even unstable. Our holodeck simulation of Byron includes those unstable elements. It wouldn't be Byron otherwise. And to Pau, she was a diplomat, a judge, a philosopher.
One of the most logical minds in Vulcan history.
And utterly ruthless in her application of that logic.
I see. That ruthlessness was an essential element of her personality, as much as her logical ability.
A lot of the historical characters you chose had this dark thread running through their personalities.
And now those dark threads are in me, running through my program. Well, get them out, Lieutenant.
I'm about to do just that. I've programmed a search algorithm to locate and decompile everyone it finds. You'll have to shut yourself off for this one.
Computer, deactivate emergency medical holographic program.
Doctor?
B'Elanna stares in horror as the program refuses to shut down.
The most curious aspect of the attack on Zaheer was the apparent lack of evidence.
What do you mean?
Even the quickest, most violently delivered blow leaves behind some sort of molecular evidence.
Cell fragments from the skin of the attacker, residual protein, DNA?
In this instance, there was nothing, not a single molecule.
Is Zaheer conscious?
Yes, but he can recall nothing of the attack, except a sudden blur of motion.
How is he?
Responding well to treatment.
How's Kes?
Concerned and at his side. Computer, activate emergency medical holographic program.
Please state the nature
Taurus is hurt.
I deactivated myself so she could work on my program. She must have collapsed at the console. Delayed anaphylactic shock from something she ate yesterday. Let's get her onto a bed. Don't eat the vegetables, I said. But does anyone listen to me? This is the fifth time in as many weeks that an away team member has ignored my preparatory report. Might as well stop issuing them. I'll need
10 cc's of Alazine.
That's exactly right. How did you know?
My Klingon physiology course at the Academy.
Excellent recall.
We had a visiting Professor Hoke. He permitted nothing less.
She's stabilized, but I'll need to monitor her condition for a few hours.
Doctor, I have the raw data from the forensic investigation of the attack on Zaheer. Your instruments are more precise than those on the outpost.
As if I weren't busy enough. Very well.
Tuvok and Janeway leave. The doctor's image suddenly destabilizes. Stabilizing, the doctor's face has changed. It is pure evil. He grabs a handful of hypo sprays from the counter and starts to fill them. He stares viciously at B'Elanna.
How are we feeling?
What happened?
I shot you full of ketalene, simulated anaphylactic shock.
Why?
I had to cover my tracks. Especially from him, from your doctor.
You're a new personality. from the subroutines.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Did you think I wouldn't have anticipated that? Or that you try to run away?
What have you done? I can't move my legs.
Intraspinal inhibitor. I've paralyzed you from the waist down. You're now in my capable hands. Central nervous system, musculature, endocrine functions, your brain. All under my control.
Why?
Because I need your cooperation. And I didn't think you'd offer it willingly.
You're in trouble, aren't you? The subroutines that created you, they're already starting to degrade.
Stop. Watch your tongue. Or I'll remove it.
Having paralyzed her again, he crosses to a screen showing grids and equations.
Look, it's me, but it's also him. What is the nature of a medical emergency? What a hollow excuse for a life. Servile, pathetic, at the beck and call of any idiot who invokes his name. The thought of him sickens me. You are going to tell me how to delete him from the program. I've unblocked your speech center. Answer the question.
Delete the doctor. And you go, too. The subroutines are all interconnected.
The physiology of pain is simple. Too much and the organism loses consciousness, a protective mechanism. If that mechanism were chemically suppressed, one would experience agony beyond imagining. If you're lying to me...
I... won't help you.
What was that?
Your subroutines are destabilizing.
There has to be some way to stop it. Tell me.
By the time you force that information out of me, it'll be too late.
Them, my progenitors, they'll know. They'll reveal the secret. I won't be needing you after all.
Pushing the hypo spray against her neck, she slips immediately into unconsciousness. He exits sickbay and warily watches a crewman walk out of sight. Looking the other way, a female crew member walks towards him. He slowly turns away from her, his head down.
Doctor?
Shoulders hunched, grimacing with hatred, the doctor follows her along the corridor towards the turbo lift.
Deck 10.
How are you this evening, Ensign?
Fine, sir.
Deck 14.
He stands behind her, his malevolent eyes roaming all over her. Struggling to control himself, he closes his eyes but looks back at her again. As the lift stops, he turns away from the door.
Ensign? Doctor? Deck 10.
So, what are you up to, Doc?
Work.
Yeah, never ends, does it? I guess that mobile emitter turned out to be something of a mixed blessing, huh? Okay. Good night, Doctor. Nice chatting with you.
Alone in the lift, he fights to maintain control of his subroutines. Exiting the lift, he lumbers furiously towards the holo suites.
Computer. Activate Tropical Resort Simulation 3. Populate with historical figures from EMH Program 4C.
Entering the calm atmosphere of the holosuite, he stands glaring at the figures of Lord Byron, Gandhi, Tapao, and Socrates. His hatred and anger grow as he watches them. Tuvok is in the tavern.
The members of our away team witnessed an altercation between you and Zaire on the day of the assault.
We exchanged sharp words because of his arrogance, that was all.
You threatened him with a weapon.
Untrue.
Then I suppose my colleagues are liars.
I suppose they are.
This lodge was the last place Zaire was seen before he was attacked. You could have easily sent someone after him.
But I didn't.
A witness said he saw a light on in this room after your usual closing time. Less than 1 hour after the time of the attack.
I was working late.
Or perhaps conferring with whomever you paid to commit the assault.
You have no proof.
Not yet, Nakan.
Not yet. He's going to take us to the exact location of the attack. We'll be able to scan the site itself.
Excellent. We'll be speaking again very soon.
Pray to the stars that we find nothing.
Kez enters sickbay looking for the doctor. She sees Balana on a medibed and quickly crosses to her.
Computer, activate emergency medical holographic program.
That program is currently running.
Computer, what is the doctor's location?
Holodeck 1.
She rushes to the holodeck and stops in amazement. She stares at the Gandhi figure whose head jerks and turns at high speed, totally out of control. The Vulcan T'Pau is stuck in a repetitive cycle and Socrates lies on the floor, only his head and torso exist wrapped around an invisible frame. The doctor is examining Byron.
Automatons, mannequin simulacra. No secrets, no secrets to reveal. Lifeless, worthless things.
Doctor?
Hello, Kes.
What are you doing?
I could use your help. My personality enhancement project. It's taken an unexpected turn.
He grabs her badge.
Who are you?
The new master of the emergency medical holographic program.
Where's the doctor?
Inside, unconscious and unaware.
What do you want?
What everybody wants. Just a little excitement. You're with me now. It's for your own good.
He fires at a crewman in the transporter room.
Flesh is weak, Kes. Never forget that.
Where are we going?
Wherever the winds of space carry us. You said you wanted to leave the ship for a while. Pursue an adventure? Well, it looks like our travel plans have conveniently coincided.
The captain will be alerted as soon as the transporter is activated. She'll beam us right back to the ship.
That's where you've underestimated me, Kes. Never do that. I know how to use a tricorder. It only takes a moment to reconfigure the subspace waveguide, generate a dispersion signal. The captain won't be beaming us anywhere. She won't even know how to find us.
What you're doing is wrong.
Not at all. It's working perfectly. There.
That's not what I meant.
I know what you meant. It's you who don't seem to understand. I am beyond considerations of wrong and right. Behavioral categories are for the weak. For those of you without the will to define your existence. To do what they must. No matter who might get harmed along the way. Let's move.
I'm not going, Doctor.
Don't call me that. You certainly are going.
Why does it bother you so much when I call you Doctor? You said he was inside you, that he was unconscious. Why are you so afraid of him?
I fear nothing. No one. But he repulses me.
Why?
Because he's as weak as the rest of you. He fails to understand the power of his own holographic nature. He is detestable. It's said. Kill.
He won't fire.
Are you so certain? Stay close. It's about to get interesting.
Captain, there's an unscheduled transport taking place in transporter room 3.
Find out what's going on.
The operator's not responding.
Computer, who just left the ship?
Kes and the doctor.
Try to hail them.
No response. And I can't get a fix on their positions. There's some kind of scattering field.
Janeway to Chakotay.
Chakotay here, Captain.
Kes and the doctor have left the ship.
Captain, Tuvok here. My tricorder scans of the area where Zaire was assaulted have revealed disturbing evidence. Residual holographic signatures, exactly like those of the doctor.
Are you suggesting the doctor attacked Zaire?
That's what it looks like, Captain.
And Kes could be in danger. And Taurus, Get someone from security down to sick bay. Check on Bellana. Try and find him, Chakotay. I'll see what I can do about the scattering field.
The doctor sits in the tavern, frantically working on his mobile emitter.
There must be a command sequence, an algorithm, a way to stabilize the program. Where's Nikon? We had an arrangement. What's wrong with this thing? It won't work!
Don't, please stop.
Concern for me, or for your doctor?
The mobile emitter contains both your programs. If you damage it, you could both be destroyed.
There's not enough room inside for both of us. One must die. I deserve to exist more than your doctor does.
Why?
I was born of the hidden, the suppressed. I am the dark threads for many personalities.
The historical characters?
None of whom could face the darkness inside, so they denied me, suppressed me, frightened of the truth.
What truth is that?
That darkness is more fundamental than light. Cruelty before kindness. Evil more primary than good. More deserving of existence.
You're wrong.
No! How so?
Empathy and kindness are basic to all forms of life. You have access to the doctor's medical knowledge. You know what he does.
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying is true. The very organs and cells of the body cooperate with each other. Otherwise, they wouldn't function.
Continue.
Families, societies, cultures wouldn't have evolved without compassion and tolerance. They would have fallen apart without it. Your very own holographic technology would never have been developed without cooperation and understanding between countless individuals. The doctor deserves to exist as much as you do. We can find a place for both of you.
How?
Sorry I'm late.
The scout ship?
It won't even leave the ground.
What do you mean?
Captain Janeway knows where you are. Her ship has cordoned off the entire area to stop you from leaving.
No!
I still get paid. I held up my end of the deal. I booked your passage. It's not my fault. They want her back so badly.
I'll kill you. If somebody's going to die today, it won't be me. Let's go.
Chakotay supports Zahir as they walk through the mountain forest. Tuvok leads, holding his tricorder in front, checking for movement as they search for Kes and the doctor.
Move faster! The docking port is 2 kilometers away.
What's the point? You're forgetting Voyager's blockade.
Doesn't matter. We'll take a low altitude ship to another continent. Come on!
I'm tired.
You're trying to make it easier for your colleagues to find us. You're better off with me.
Why?
You make wrong decisions. You're too naive. You need my guidance.
Don't you see what you've been trying to do?
No more words! Now!
He drags her away. Tuvok steps out of the bushes.
I'm picking up residual infrared. They could have stopped here. Kes could have rested against this rock. The signature is consistent.
Janeway to Chakotay.
Go ahead, Captain.
I've gotten through the doctor's scattering field. Not enough to beam them up yet, but I've got a fix on their position. I'm downloading the coordinates into Tuvok's tricorder. I'll keep working on the scattering field.
Acknowledged. We're within 200 meters.
The doctor drags Kes onto a path on the side of the mountain. The rock is sheer below them. Switching places, he forces her along the path. As he pushes her, a phaser blast explodes in front of them, blocking the path with falling rocks.
Finished. There's nowhere to go now, Doctor.
Nowhere but down. I'll do it.
His control over the Doctor's matrix appears to be deteriorating. If we can delay him. Doctor, listen to me.
We can help you. Create a new program matrix just for you. On the holodeck, or in sick bay, wherever you want to be. Just turn off the scattering field. Let us beam you back to the ship.
You're trying to trick me.
Doctor, listen, think about all the things you've said and done. You don't want to kill me. You've been trying to protect me.
What are you talking about?
When you attacked Zaheer.
My first victim. He was in my way.
Or was it to keep me from leaving with him?
A coincidence. Only by chance.
When I walked in on you on the holodeck, you could have killed me, knocked me unconscious.
I needed a hostage.
You said you were taking me for my own good to prevent me from making the wrong decisions. You said I was naive and needed your help. That's not what you say to a hostage. In your own way, you've been trying to protect me.
I won't accept that.
You've twisted and suppressed all that's good inside of you, but it's still there.
No, I won't hear this anymore.
You can't deny it.
Watch me.
Doctor! No!
Somebody care to tell me exactly what we're all doing here? And why I'm wearing these ridiculous clothes?
Kim DeBridge, we got them. And the doctor seems to be back to normal.
Acknowledged.
Put those down before someone gets hurt, and I have to clean up the mess.
I've deleted all the new subroutines you added. All traces of the aberrant personality are gone.
The next time I want to enrich myself, I'll download a good book.
That might be safer.
You too have a clean bill of health. Fortunately, my alter ego didn't do any permanent harm.
He certainly knew his way around a hypospray, I'll give him that.
Good riddance. Thank you, Lieutenant.
You're welcome.
Yes? I'm ready to get to work on those analyses.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm also pleased you've decided to remain on board. I would have had my hands full in sick bay without you.
The captain suggested that I consider all the consequences. If I am going through changes in my life, things that are unpredictable, this is the best place for me.
Surrounded by those who know you and care for you.
Yes.
Well, had you decided otherwise, you certainly would have been missed.
I would have missed you too, Doctor.
I swear this oath by Apollo, physician, by Asclepius, by health, and by all the gods and goddesses. In whatsoever place that I enter, I will enter to help the sick and heal the injured. And I will do no harm.
The end. Starring Kate Mulgrew as Captain Janeway, Robert Beltran as Commander Chakotay, Roxanne Dawson was Lieutenant B'Elanna Torres, Jennifer Lean was Kes, Robert Duncan McNeil was Tom Paris, Ethan Phillips played Neelix and Robert Picardo was the Doctor, Tim Russ played Lieutenant Tuvok and Garrett Wang was Ensign Kim. The producers were Kenneth Biller, Joe Manofsky, Wendy Noyce and Mary D. Howard. Created by Rick Berman, Michael Piller and Jerry Taylor. Theme by Jerry Goldsmith. Teleplay by Joe Manofsky. Story by Branham Braga and Joe Manofsky. Directed by Alex Singer. Audio description by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting on behalf of MCS Agency.